Inside COVID-19 from BizNews. In late April, we had a fascinating discussion with Professor Andreas Diaken from Stellenbosch University about BCG and the trial to see whether this vaccine that we all get in South Africa as babies is going to shield us in any way. Prof, good to have you on the podcast again. It's a few months later. Perhaps you can update us. Has the trial kicked off?
Yes, the trial has kicked off. Thanks for asking that. Usually the buzz in the press disappears very quickly once the activity has started, but you are following up and I'm really appreciative of that. So far, we have 570 participants that have had this vaccination either with BCG or with placebo. And we've also started seeing events happening. So far, we've just about 120 recorded events, of whom I think five were people that actually had to go to hospital and a few others were quite serious. Now, at this point, I have to tell you that because it's so-called blinded study, I do not know if the people that had these bad outcomes that we want to protect them from had the placebo vaccine or not. So this is, of course, not very informative for your audience, but you're looking live into a clinical trial and that's how it is.
But that's interesting. So more than 500 people are part of the trial. These are all health workers, if I recall.
These people are all working in hospitals. We have observed that not only the doctors and the nurses actually are exposed, it's just as much the people in laboratories, the people running with materials in the hospital, even the kitchen staff. They have all been shown to actually have high infection rates, you know, compared to non-healthcare workers, just because they work in that environment where the virus is frequently around.
But with these cases that you've just told us about, that's roughly 20% of the people in the trial. That sounds like a very high percentage of infections. Help us through that.
These are not all infections. We are recording every disturbance to people's health, even if it's mild, because we might only afterwards find out that it was COVID-related. So I think 3 months, 6 months, and 12 months, we will measure people's antibodies against the virus. So we will be able to afterwards, even if people did not go for a test, you know, we will be able to tell you must have developed antibodies in this time. So that what you reported to us then probably was due to COVID-19. The testing strategy currently isn't such that every mild disease in every person will be tested by the government. So we might actually miss out on some, but we will at some point find out. And so all these events, you know, they can be something from a mild, temporary feeling of having a cold to being hospitalized. This can be anything. We have also to be appreciative that our vaccination might things worse. You know, I can't really imagine how that could happen, but we have an obligation to capture really everything. So if we actually somehow make people's outcome worse, we would also know.
So just to bring those up to date, you perhaps weren't aware of the trial. BCG is administered to South Africans, has been done so since the 1970s, perhaps even earlier than that. It has been shown in some corroborative studies, yeah, I got the word right, that it might be protecting nations who do have BCG vaccinations in infants. And what you're doing now is revaccinating healthcare workers to see whether you can disprove this or prove it. So it's really a scientist's look at whether there's any truth in what the numbers are suggesting.
Yeah, you're right, Alec. It's interesting. I mean, most people have perhaps heard that compared to the rest of the world, the mortality in South Africa remains relatively low. This means the percentage of people that have the infection and that actually die from it is lower than expected. And this sort of gives me hope that this might actually have something to do with the high exposure to diseases like TB that we have here. That, you know, the immune systems being prepared for this kind of infection to fight it off. This might have something to do with that observation, and that we, with that TB vaccine might actually be doing the right thing, that we are waking up that immune system, you know, even if it's not directly against COVID-19, but we prepare it for these type of infections optimally so that there might be some protection that we can show.
So you can't draw any conclusions yet because you haven't seen the results or you haven't had that kind of an insight. But I recall in our last conversation, you said that because of the urgency of fighting COVID-19, that you'll be trying to get the insights as soon as possible.
This is complicated. We have a very efficient system that my co-workers here have set up beautifully, is that all these 116 events that we have already recorded are within a very short time, a day or two, they are on the table of a statistician that actually sits in Sweden. And that statistician is monitoring the data continuously. So that statistician knows who was vaccinated with what. And periodically, they do a formal analysis of the accumulated data and submit that to an independent committee that we call a data safety monitoring board. There are four South African experts on this and two non-South African experts, all very experienced clinicians, researchers, statisticians that work in the field of public health, infectious disease, tuberculosis. And they will inform us if there is a signal strong enough that we can stop the study, that we can say BCG should now be offered to everyone who could have participated in this study and fits these criteria. We will know from them. They will approach us and say, you should consider stopping this trial and making the result public. Until then, I have no further information to give. It's not very glamorous, you know, to be the main investigator of such a study if it's blinded, because I'm the last person that's going to know, but I will know one day.
And they're not giving you any inkling of when they would be able to inform you?
No, they are strongly encouraged not to do this. Now, imagine we know who has been vaccinated with what. Obviously, my people all believe that we are doing something good. And they will subconsciously then start rating events in these patients according to what they know they were vaccinated with. You know, so everybody who had a placebo will be rated higher in the symptom scores, and everybody that had the BCG will be asked, but are you sure this was really so bad? And the team would start influencing the results. So by no means anyone in my team must know who was vaccinated with what. And only then the result that we will have is credible.
Have you any feedback from the other international trials that are in progress at the moment?
We do. None of these trials has a result, and many of them actually struggle because their epidemics in these places are mostly under control. So if you, for instance, do a trial in Australia, you will have very few events. So even if you have thousands of people on your trial, you will probably not accumulate COVID-19-related events at the rate that we are currently doing that. And so we are, because, you know, our epidemic in the Western Cape, it's still growing and it appears to reach a plateau in the next month. And then it's probably not going to go away that quickly either. So we are in the best position, I think, currently to actually show a result in this study, just because we have events to report and to record. And we're also still trying to, we hope to accumulate a bit more funding so that we can expand the numbers. Currently, we have enough money for 1,000. And our sister site at the University of Cape Town is currently doing the numbers from about 600 to 1,000, but we would really like to continue to 2,000 to be sure that we will be able to show the effect of BCG vaccination.
Who would help you to fund? Where would you seek the resources from?
You know, obviously in COVID-19 is a global epidemic and lots of people are testing a lot of good ideas out there, and we are just one of them. We would hope that some donors like the government or other charitable organizations, perhaps the WHO, that someone would top up these numbers, because, you know, the most expensive thing is to actually get it started. And we have been funded by the European Union for the first 1,000 participants, and a startup plus private funders have helped us. Private hospital chain has actually quite significantly assisted us in getting both the healthcare workers recruited and the trial funded. So this is a so-called, you can call it a spontaneous private-public partnership where everyone donates a little bit to it, to its success. if we could just top it up a little more, it would probably make the power of the trial to have an outcome higher.
Are you in touch with Dr. Gonzalo Otazu from the New York Institute of Technology? And I ask that because he was the man driving the very first correlator of study of BCG. Can you swap notes with someone like that? Is that ethical?
No, we do. I mean, he's not in any way involved in our study, but he's made the interesting observations that from his chair, you know, where he sits, which is not here in South Africa, he observed that it appeared to him and his team, just by looking at the numbers, that areas where BCG vaccination is applied routinely, and obviously, because it's a TB vaccine, these are the areas where tuberculosis is frequently found. Those seem to be doing better with the COVID-19 numbers than other regions. Now, this is, of course, an interesting observation, but there's so many differences between countries. You know, the age, the genetics, how they handle the epidemic, how close people live on top of each other, HIV prevalence. It's hard to consider his observations good enough evidence to roll out the medical intervention. And so we are basically follow up on this observation and trying to verify it in a real world scenario, but with very, very well collected data that will live up to any quality check that would afterwards have to be done. So we are in touch. I mean, he is interested in what we do, and obviously he's interested on a personal level to see if his predictions turn out to be right. But he's not formally part of our team, though. But I'm grateful for his work. Even if it turns out wrong, I think it was a good idea and it needs to be tested. Even if the outcome would be negative, it would also, for us, be interesting to see why all these lines of evidence that would make it probable that it works, why this is not so. You know, there are interesting scientific questions where both a yes and a no actually bring you further, because it shows you that you're on the good way or you're not. And that's why also I would like to have more numbers that I'm sure I can have a firm yes or a firm no for the theory behind it.
So the good news is not such good news in that South Africa has all these events, as you call them, these infections of COVID-19, which is going up. And that makes the trial, or makes the evidence that you're getting from the trial, very rich. On the other hand, we also know that health workers have now got private protective equipment. They are being less infected than they were in the past. So a question here is, what about extending the study, given that you get funding, to older people, those who are really at risk, and perhaps in those high-risk areas, seeing whether the BCG revaccination does assist?
It's a good question. Perhaps one should look at it from the point of view of the risk of infection and the risk of bad outcome once one is infected. And I'm not entirely sure if old people are at the higher risk of being infected. I think the higher risk is that they become more ill once they are infected. If you look at this, assuming that older people are at the higher risk of dying, I'm not sure if it's ethical to use them as a study population. You would probably want to do this the way we do it. Now, and look, I'm making this up now, but I'm thinking aloud. Mm. So if you do this in healthcare workers, you will have an age span of something between 20 and 60, 65 in your study. And if we have something like 2,000 participants, we can then look at an age-adjusted analysis. And I don't think that the risk will, you know, from 65 to 66, it will make a jump up. If older people are different, we would see a trend from young to old. And from that, we can then probably figure out if it's worthwhile extending the study to older people or not. But we would then do this based on data and in consultation with people who would advise us if that's doable. And we'd probably also consult representatives of the community of old people if they feel that's a fair thing to do. But right now, I would rather not do this because it's high risk for the researchers, and especially, you know, if you do clinical research, the welfare of the participants in it is always the very biggest concern. We don't want to do anything where people would come to harm. So it is probably safer to do it in people at low risk. We also, for instance, excluding HIV positives from the study, because there is a potential that the vaccination itself might be harmful in HIV patients. And we've also been discussing this with these communities. And the solution was that we would do this trial in non-HIV infected people. And if we had a positive signal, we would immediately start another study in HIV positives that are stable on their treatments and see if we can use the vaccination safely in that population. And perhaps a similar approach could be done with elderly people.
Well, we're certainly going to be popping in every 3 months to see how things are going. It's lovely to have a South African study trial that's being done, and all the very best in getting those results. We look forward to hearing from you, and hopefully, for the country's sake, in a positive way.
I hope so much that this will be true, though I have explained to you that I can't really influence it beyond putting on as many patients as quickly as possible as we can. And thank you, Alec, for following up. It's great to see that people are interested, not just, you know, in the hype of setting up something new, but also going through the hard work of actually doing it. Thank you.
Inside COVID-19 from BizNews.